In this kingdom, there is no limit to growth. We only know where we start from. There is no limit to where we can reach. Interestingly, in this journey, overtaking is allowed. The first shall be the last, and the least shall be the first. In this journey, there is no seniority of status. There may be seniority of office for the purpose of organization, but for aspiration, there is no seniority. There is no bar. Nobody can limit you. Somebody is shifting ground. I know that that person is here. Very soon, those who knew you to be on the floor will find you at a higher level. Those who never thought you amount to nothing will see you climbing higher. Those who call you this little brother will soon find you to become an apostle. Well, we all know that the journey begins at new birth. Once you are born again, you are registered into the school of signs and wonders. These signs shall follow them that believe. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. These signs shall follow them, not one person. And nobody's name or title is put there. Scripture is an open letter to all believers. Anything you find can be appropriated to yourself. When next you are reading scriptures, don't look at your neighbor to appropriate it to him, but to yourself. The copy of the Bible you have in your hand is a personal letter to you from God. These signs, not one. You are the one to determine the number. These signs shall follow. What is following you? Shame and reproach. What is following you? Say it confidently. Your neighbor may not like it. Say it right now. What shall follow you when you wake up in the morning, enter into your car, you are going to work, driving to your village? What's following you inside an aircraft? This sign shall follow them that believe. So all believers are signs commanders. So from new birth, God intends for you to live the supernatural. When you are born biologically, you are natural. But when you gave your life to Jesus, we call it new birth. There is biological birth and there is spiritual birth. There is terrestrial and there is celestial birth. There is the earthly life and there is eternal life. But when you give your life to Jesus, the journey into the supernatural commences. But we have to go. That's what it means to shift higher in the supernatural. Of course, the Holy Spirit is the fountain of the supernatural life. The Word of God, the food for the supernatural. What the Word of God is, or rather what food is to the physical body, is what the Word of God is to the supernatural. You don't feel growth. You feed growth. Now, I need to say this because a lot of believers want to base their spirituality on feelings. On feelings. When a child is born into a family, he doesn't feel like a member of that family. He knows he's a member of that family. How? By knowledge. How do you know you have physical strength? Not by gauging the stomach you put in your food. But you know it because your body is answering strength. The more we feed in God's word, the stronger we become. The people who do know their God shall be what? Strong. Simple equation. You don't feel strong. You just become strong. The people that do know. What you know is what makes you strong. The people that do know. So you know to grow. But tonight I want to quickly share with us something very crucial that will help us to carry the consciousness of the supernatural at all times. And that is divine presence. Divine presence is the backbone of the supernatural. Divine presence is the backbone of the supernatural. And I discovered from scriptures, every operator of the supernatural, both in the Old and the New Testament, had one very strong desire and one assurance, and that is the presence of God. The presence of God. And if there's one prayer I want to pray for you tonight, is that the presence of God will be with you. You see, many people look for different things. Often when we pray for people to prosper, you hear their prayer, their amen extremely loud. Pray for new houses, pray for miracle marriage. The shout is loud. But there are vital things that you need to know you need more than any other thing. Among which is divine presence. If you can, please stretch your hands here. I decree that from tonight, the presence of God will go with you. Let's begin with Moses. You need divine presence more than any other thing. The Lord said to Moses, Exodus chapter 4, verse 12. And you know why Moses will need this prayer, this assurance. The Lord said unto him, now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what thou shalt say. I am with your mouth. Now this was a stammerer. His stammering was a major concern to him. Now, let me quickly bring to your notice, I personally believe that Moses was not a born stammerer. And I'll tell you why. A stammerer can never become a commander in the army. One of the requirements for becoming a commander is your voice. If a commander is a stammerer, he will confuse the parade. Stand. Somebody has put his foot on ground. Somebody is hanging. So the parade will be lost. Amen. Do I have some generals here tonight? Now they will testify to what I'm talking about. You confuse the parade. You confuse the troop if you're a stammerer. And Moses was a commander. How did Moses become a stammerer? By my personal revelation. Moses became a commander or a stammerer when there were no more human beings to command. He suffered mental demoralization. Somebody who was commanding human beings is now commanding cattle. Crack, 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 crack. That's my personal revelation anyway. He was sent out of Egypt. with nothing but a rod in his hand. Of course, it was a wise choice he made. So when the Lord came to Moses and said, Moses, I want to send you. I could picture in his mind saying, oh Lord, I wish you spoke to me 40 years ago when I had a clear voice to command. And God said, I don't need your tongue now. And there is no indication that the Lord healed Moses of his stammering. What you don't have, God does not need. That's why up till today, ask anyone that God called, he will tell you why God should not call him. By reason of what he does not have. Everyone that God called today gave an excuse based on what they don't have. And God will answer them, I don't need that thing, so I will not give it to you. But I will give to you what you don't think you need, which you need. And this is divine presence. Once you secure divine presence, the journey is a sail through already. And so when it came to time for Moses to pray, in Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 and 15, he had the conversation between him and God. God said, my presence shall go with thee and I will give you rest. From today you shall have rest. Let me hear somebody say amen. In your home, in your career, in everything you do, you will have rest. And the following verse, Moses protested, if your presence will not go with me, don't take me from here. And I think that is the prayer we should all pray. You should protest before the Lord. If you will not go with me, leave me here. The presence of the Lord makes all the difference. Now, come to David. What distinguished David was divine presence. He was disqualified at all levels. First of all, when a king was to be elected in the house of his father Jesse, nobody took cognizance of him. His name was not registered. He was not nominated. He was not considered fit at all. After all the sons of Jesse passed through, out of frustration, Samuel asked, are these the only sons you have? And Jesse said, oh, I remember there's one boy in the bush, but I'm not sure you will need him. His father didn't consider him. And Samuel said, no, we will not take our seat until he comes. And while he was coming, I guess that Samuel was looking at him with one prophetic eye. And the Lord did not allow Samuel to speak. He said, hey, this is he. Stand up, anoint him. He got to the field to take food to his brethren. And the brethren looked down at him and said, what are you looking for here? We know your pride. Get back home. Somehow he managed to get to the palace. And the king told him, you are not able to fight. And he got by some means to face Goliath. And Goliath said, look at this skeleton. I will finish you today. So at different levels he was despised. But look at what made the difference in the life of David. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of Eli and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. And verse 18, further explanation. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man. Mighty valiant man. What a good qualification. A man of war. Another qualification. A prudent man in matters. And a comely person, handsome, good looking, but above all, the Lord is with him. That is the highest qualification we should look for in life. That the Lord is with you. Your grammar may be good or not, may not be good, but let the Lord be with you. Your dress may look good or may not look good, but let the Lord be with you. Your credential may be wonderful or not, but let the Lord be with you. That is the greatest need of any believer. And the Lord is with him. And the Lord is with him. Again, I pray for each person here tonight. May the presence of God go with you. And so, having lived with King Saul, David knew the woe of losing the presence of God. So in Psalm 51 verse 11, after David had some issues, he prayed, "Cast me not away from your presence. Cast me not away from your presence." If the Lord throws you out of his presence, you are finished. May the Lord not cast you away from his presence. I thought somebody saying a loud amen to that. Now, let's come to Jesus. Three different times, there was a testimony of divine presence with Jesus. First, by an unbeliever. Two, by his closest disciple, Peter. And three, by himself. He had an insider's testimony. He had an outsider's testimony. And he had a personal testimony. Nicodemus, chapter 3. You are looking at me? Where do you find Nicodemus? Okay, find it now. Praise the Lord. Nicodemus, chapter 3. Okay, John, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Let me submit here tonight. The miracles we see in this church is not because our pastor is an apostle or an evangelist. Don't make that mistake. The signs and wonders we see in this church is described in that verse. No man can do these things except God is with him. I have discovered several times when you think as a pastor, you have made a lot of impact. After the service, nobody came to say to you, "Pastor, I thank God for the message today." But the day when you felt you messed up, you didn't perform, people lined up and say, "Pastor, I want to thank God. I've never had that word the way I had it before." How? Because God was with you. The other day that they didn't greet you, it was your message. You preach your message. Is somebody here with me? And I think when Paul realized this, he said, "Well, I will rejoice and take glory in my infirmity. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know the way God operates? Until you are down to nothing, he doesn't make you to come up to something. The best time to enjoy God is when you look like down to nothing. Because at that time, it becomes clear to you that this is the finger of God. No man can do these things except the Lord be with him. Now, an insider's testimony. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Peter, having watched Jesus closely, said, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why and how? For God was with him. The most important thing is that last phrase. For God was with him. May God be with you. If you got a new job or got promotion, it is not because of your qualification, because there are people who are far better than you. It is because God is with you. You know what David said? He said, among all of my father's children, God chose me because he liked me. God was with him. I want you to take your best testimony as the testimony of divine presence. Divine presence. Now, let's hear Jesus' testimony himself. John chapter 8, verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He is with me. He is with me. My Father is with me. Things are happening because my Father is present. Carriers of his presence are natural commanders of his power. Carriers of his presence are natural commanders of his power. Why am I bringing to us this message tonight? It is so that we can grow in divine presence. Grow God around you. Grow God inside you. If I have 1 hour to pray, I will pray 90 minutes for his presence and perhaps maximum 10 minutes for his power. The last promise Jesus gave to us is not promise of power, but the promise of his presence. And lo, I am with you always. I am with you. I am with you. Now, something runs through your system. If you ever hear God say to you, I am with you. I don't know about you, but he sends signals to me. Every time I am reminded of his presence, it gives me unique strengths. That I wake up desiring every day, that I go about with every day, and every one of us can enjoy his presence. As I mentioned earlier, you don't have to feel it, just know it. Many years back, when I wasn't as knowledgeable as I am right now in the spirit, I was taking a flight from Kano to Maiduguri in those days. And as I took my seat, an air host came and met me. He said, sir, can I know you? I said, what about that? He said, when you enter, something entered. I said, I'm not surprised. Something always enter when I enter. When I go out, something go. Man, I enjoy divine presence all the time. Divine presence. Divine presence. It subdues opposition. It intimidates your enemies. When I'm told somebody doesn't like me, I say, let's go. Let's go and meet the person who doesn't like me. And as you approach, I hear the person say, you're welcome, sir. You're welcome, sir.
I thought you said they don't like me. Divine presence. From today, divine presence will subdue your enemies. Now, if you watch the story of David, he never met the king before. But at the first appearance, the king loved him. He was captivated by the king. He sent to his father, he said, "Hey, your son David will not go back. He will be here with me because I love him." And immediately David became the armor bearer of the king without training. Divine presence. The first time he met with Jonathan, Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Divine presence. Now, that is not, it's not an ordinary thing. This is a palace boy, Jonathan. This is a farmer's boy, David. No meeting point. But divine presence melted them together. Now, how I wish many pastors will realize this. They think that what makes impact is their preaching. You may be the best preachers. If people don't like you, there's nothing you can do. I have taken time to study pastors, especially churches that are growing. And I discovered that most of the pastors are on a zooming. They don't look like it. Yet you cannot deny it. They don't look like it. Either by eloquence like myself, or by appearance like Pastor Paul. Amen. I don't know his weight, but I think I'm heavier than you a little bit. Yet when he speaks, all the demons are trembling. When he prays, the sick getting healed. The afflicted are getting delivered. Why? Divine presence. Pastors, when next you finish making your note, when next you carry your Bible and carry your handkerchief, as you are going to the altar, be praying, "Father, let your presence go with me." Your presence. Your presence. Your presence. That's what makes the difference. You may be very eloquent in preaching, but if the presence of God is not with you, you'll be messed up. Divine presence. When you are going for your next interview, of course, carry your certificate, carry all your credentials, but don't forget to carry the presence of God with you. From today, the presence of the Lord will go with you. I'm not sure I heard your amen very well.